I started planning my wedding when I was 7. My best friend Lynn and I would lie on our backs in the sun, making daisy chains and discussing seating plans. I'd be married at sunset on my parents' farm, land that's been in my family for 120 years, up on the cliff as the sun made the world blush pink and gold. How my wedding party and guests would make the hike was a minor detail. I would have a maid of honour, Lynn, and a best man, my oldest friend Justin, and the reception would be held in a barn that my dad would restore especially for the occasion. My mother would bake the cake and the rest of her Rural Women's Guild's mates would cater. It would be the perfect day. 13 arrived and brought puberty and hormones with it. Lynn started dating Simo, a boy 2 years older than us, and he became the groom in her fantasy wedding. I cut photos from magazines of brides, decapitated the grooms and kept them in a shoebox with scraps of silk stolen from my mother's sewing tin. I pictured the face of every boy I knew, and some that I didn't, waiting at the end of the aisle, the setting sun glowing on his freshly shaven face as I walked towards him. But all I felt was a heaviness, like when you swallow bubblegum and wonder if it might stay in your guts for 8 years. The dream started just before my 14th birthday. It's my wedding day and I'm standing where I'm supposed to be, waiting in the clearing before the cliff. Through the trees, white garden chairs sit in rows, and my little brother Zach directs people to their seats while my music teacher Gilly plays classical guitar. Dad appears at my side, asks if I'm ready. Lynn passes me my bouquet, kisses my cheek, whispers something filthy about the wedding night. Justin tilts his akubra and tells me I owe him one for making him wear a tie. I ask Dad where my mother is. He tells me she's not here. Says I should know that. I turn to ask Justin if he sees my mother, but he's standing in the trees. Not gone, but not there. Dad tugs my arm and drags me towards the aisle, and I feel my smile slide into place. The person who appears illuminates my world. Tall, dark, and categorically female. The first time I had the dream, I woke with my heart in my throat. It was 3 in the morning, but I turned on the light anyway and sorted through my box of headless men in suits. They're headless, but they're still men, right? I told myself it was just a dream, switched off the light and stared at the ceiling until morning. The dream left me alone long enough to convince me it was just that, a dream. Then it came back again and again, until I went to sleep most nights expecting it, looking forward to it. And the dream evolved with my understanding. I knew why my mother wasn't there. Every night I hoped the dream would change and she'd be there in a simple yet stylish pastel pantsuit. But that wouldn't be evolution. That'd be a miracle. Justin stayed in the trees, watching but not wanting to see. Lynn's words got filthier. Dad didn't have to drag me down the aisle. Gradually I got closer to the bride, but never close enough. The dreams teased me for an entire year until at last I woke with a lingering taste of another person's mouth on my lips. I sat up in bed and shared my secret with the dark. I'm a lesbian. I imagined telling my family. Dad would be shocked and confused, but he'd hide it well. He'd hug me and tell me everything would be okay, when maybe it wouldn't, because that's the kind of bloke he was. My annoying little brother Zach would be annoying. He'd make a comment that would get him sent to his room and he'd stick his finger up at me as he went. My mother would implode. She would be angry and dismissive and she would not hide it well. Or at all. Veronica Summers was everything Two Creeks believed women should be. Married to a successful farmer, the youngest president of the Rural Women's Guild in Two Creeks history, and Blue Ribbon winner for the Best Victoria Sponge at the show for the past 7 years. In her opinion, I should be less like me and more like her. Judgmental, obedient, and in the kitchen. Having a gay daughter would be the ultimate failure, and Veronica Summers did not fail. And I was gay. From the moment the words left my lips in the dark, I felt their truth in every cell of my body. I wondered what it would take to convince all those cells that they were wrong, to make them something they weren't. Like trying to write left-handed. I could do it, but I'd have real trouble trying to convince anyone the toddler scrawl came naturally. When we were in year 10, Lucas Cooper called me a lezo. He'd forced his way onto the seat next to me on a bus excursion to Nangaran Caves and was sitting with his man-boy body pressed against mine while I hugged the window. He put his grubby hand on the bare skin above my knee, and when I bent his fingers halfway back to his wrist, he stood up in the aisle of the bus and announced that I was a lezo. And in that moment I had a choice. Denial or the truth. I couldn't breathe. The skin on my ears burned despite the freezing aircon on the bus. "Am not," I said. Lynn rolled her eyes at me from the opposite side of the aisle, and Justin led the other boys in taunting Lucas about how all the girls he tried to get with must be gay because he was still a virgin. I stared out the window so no one would see the tears that pooled in my eyes. Behind me, Rebecca Thomas put a hand on my shoulder and gave a gentle squeeze, told me not to worry about what Lucas said because he was a dickhead and no one believed him. But the tears had nothing to do with Lucas calling me a lezo. It was the first time I'd lied about who I was, what I was, and the shame was like nothing I'd ever felt before. So I made a deal with that shame that if anyone ever said I was gay again, I would tell the truth. Almost 2 years later, no one's mentioned it, and I haven't had to find out if I'm capable of honouring the deal that I made on the bus that day.